Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast. Author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions we all have about hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead, it should inspire us to use our time on earth wisely.
Thank you for listening to my wife and I. Today we are addressing the question, do we have an appointed time to die? Now we have all heard it said, you never know when it's your time to go, or God took him home. Now, many Christians believe they have an appointed time to die. They believe God controls when every believer dies, and whenever they die, they conclude it was God's will. Now, is this merely man's tradition, or is this taught in the Bible?
Good question, Bill. Well, this thinking is actually unscriptural. And now this may sound completely foreign to some, but the length of our life largely depends on what we do and say. And we'll examine some of these verses ahead. But God's plan for his children is for each of us to live long and finish our God-given assignment on the earth. However, if a person is satisfied at a younger age and desires to go home to the Lord, then that could be your choice, but it may not be God's best for you. His desire is for all of us to live longer in order to accomplish more for his kingdom.
That's right.
You know, in Psalms 91:16 says, with long life will I satisfy him. Well, if a Christian is satisfied to go home to heaven because of pain or suffering or something of that nature, and they choose not to believe God for healing, then that is their choice, and that can be understandable.
Right, exactly. You know, in addition, a person can shorten their life with poor eating habits or taking personal risks with sports and such. Now, this is a given, but outside of that, we can actually lengthen our days, as we will see. Now, to the disobedient, or those that don't know God, the promise of long life does not belong to them. Now, also to clarify, we are not saying that a person can just skip through life and never experience any pain, loss, or suffering. We all can experience trials and challenges in this life. We live in a fallen, sinful world where Satan is the god of this world, as 2 Corinthians 4:4 states. He is our enemy, and he seeks to kill, steal, and destroy us. If he can't get away with a way to destroy us, he will work to make us ineffective in our God-given assignment. We are in a war for our lives, our health, our families, our protection, and our provision.
That is so true, Bill. And we can and will be affected by the enemy's arrows at times. You know, in addition, as you mentioned, Bill, we can make poor choices which affect our lives. And however, if we obey God's word and learn to listen to the Holy Spirit's instructions, we can be spared and shielded from many of his fiery darts, as Ephesians 6:16 mentions. And Ephesians 6:11 through 13 describes the armor we need to wear daily for our protection, and it mentions the evil day that comes. We all will experience an evil day, and Jesus mentioned the evil day in Matthew 6:34. Here are several verses that promise us a long life if we do what his word commands.
That's right. Deuteronomy 25:15 says, have a perfect and just weight and measure, that thy days may be lengthened. So in other words, talking about being fair in thy dealings, and that will lengthen your days. Proverbs 3:2 says, keep my commandments for length of days and long life, and peace shall they add to thee. You see that? You can add to your days.
What a powerful promise.
Right. Proverbs 3:13 through 16 mentions fine wisdom, length of days is in her right hand. Proverbs 4:10, hear and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Proverbs 9:11, for by me thy days shall be multiplied, and thy years of thy life shall be increased. It's talking about those who fear the Lord.
And then going on with that thought, Proverbs 10:27 states, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And Proverbs 14:27 says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 19:23 is a great promise. It says, "The fear of the Lord tends to life, and he that has it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil."
Boy, that's a mouthful. Not even visited with evil.
So much is tied to the fear of the Lord, walking in the fear of the Lord.
Right.
And Proverbs 28:16 says, "He that hates covetousness shall prolong his days." And lastly, Ephesians 6:2, "Honor thy father and mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou may live long on the earth."
So we can see that how we live affects our lifespan. We can increase it by obeying the Lord, and the main area of obedience is to fear Him. Yet many do not have a healthy reverential fear of the Lord. You know, they may love Him, but they don't fear Him. Now, we have to be taught what the fear of the Lord is, as Psalms 34:11 states.
That's so true, Bill.
That's a whole topic of being taught what the fear of the Lord is. But it's so key.
Yes, and we can all be growing in that, you know, every day and every month, you know, growing in the fear of the Lord.
Right.
And another aspect in regards to enjoying a longer life is to guard our attitude. And we're just going to share several verses about that.
Right. These are interesting. Proverbs 11:17 says, "He that is cruel troubles his own flesh." So cruelty will bring trouble to your flesh. That could be sickness and dying early. Proverbs 7:21-23 says, "She caused him to yield. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goes to the slaughter, till a dart strike through his liver." Talking about the fornicator and the adulterer will have their liver affected.
Wow, that's an interesting verse.
Right. Proverbs 14:30, "Envy is as rottenness to the bones." So being envious. And Psalms 31:10 says, "My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones are consumed." So talking about sin causes bone problems.
And Job 20:11 says, "His bones are full of the sin of his youth."
There you go.
So there again, unrepented sin. Proverbs 17:22, "A broken spirit drieth the bones."
Yeah, that's interesting.
Proverbs 18:8 says, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down to the innermost parts of the belly." So you could have bowel issues and problems there in your digestive tract just by being a slanderer and a gossiper, right?
A gossiper, right.
Psalms 109:18, this is an interesting verse. It says, "As he clothed himself with cursing, so let it come unto his bowels like water and like oil in his bones."
That doesn't sound good.
That does not sound good. So we can see that envy, cruelty, cursing, unconfessed sin, fornication, adultery, and even a broken spirit will bring sickness and can shorten people's lives.
That's right. Now, these next verses describe some of the things an unbeliever does which will shorten their life. Deuteronomy 28:64-65 says, "If you serve other gods, the Lord shall give thee a trembling heart and failing of the eyes and sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt, and thou shalt fear day and night and have no assurance of thy life." If you serve other gods, that's interesting.
That is interesting because so many people do not serve and worship the Lord, right, in this world. And we saw that in 2020.
Right.
How the fear just overtook people. Ridiculous.
Oh, unbelievable.
Know? Unbelievable. So
you can have a trembling heart, failing of the eyes, sorrow of the mind, and your life hangs in doubt. And you have fear day and night because you have no assurance of your life.
Yes.
You know, Proverbs 10:27 again, "But the years of the wicked shall be shortened," so they can shorten their life. And Psalms 55:23 says, "Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days."
And Psalms 37:9 says, "For evildoers shall be cut off." And 37:38 says in Psalms, "But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off." There's a lot of verses in the book of Psalms talking about the wicked cut off from the earth, and in Proverbs. Proverbs 2:22 states that as well.
Right. You know, back to that, "Bloody and deceitful men shall not live half their days." We see deceit today. It's unbelievable how people are being deceived by so many.
But Bill, so many that are wicked like that are in charge of the different echelons in society or the different spheres of society. So right. My question is, what about the ungodly who do live a long life?
Right. It's a good question. Well, one of the reasons is that God is merciful and desires all to be saved. He gives them long life in order to allow them more opportunities to repent and turn to Him. This is God's mercy and long-suffering mentioned 6 times in the New Testament. And, you know, I'll just give you those 6 real quick. Romans 2:4, Romans 9:22, 1 Timothy 1:16, 1 Peter 3:20, 2 Peter 3:9, and 2 Peter 3:15.
Yeah, that reminds me about the verse, too, about God is good to the thankful and the unthankful, to the evil, right? He's still good, and you're right. And it also may be because that person has a relative praying for them to be saved. So God is answering their prayer by extending this wicked person's life.
Exactly. You know, there are 2 interesting verses which reveal that a person's life can be shortened because of their actions. 1 Corinthians 5:5 says, a man has his father's wife. So talking about a man that takes his father's wife, in other words, his mother, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. So this man sinned, and Paul said to deliver him to Satan to destroy the flesh. Now this is done in hopes that he will repent of his sin before he or she dies. Sometimes a person will only repent when they are in pain on their deathbed. The salvation of their soul and escaping an eternity in hell is far more important than their health and a longer life.
Exactly. And this was in the Corinthian church. So right. This was in the church. This is not outside the church, that example, which is interesting.
Right.
And also, you know, Job 33 talks about, again, God's goodness and mercy, that in a dream or a vision of the night, God is trying to reach man in order for that person, it says, to turn from his deed and to keep his soul back from the pit. So it goes on in Job 33 that man is also chastened with pain on his bed and with strong pain in many of his bones. So God is being gracious to him to help so that his soul will not be, you know, go down into the pit.
That's right.
So trying God, to reach people.
So God shows mercy to a person in allowing pain in their body in the hope that they will repent and turn to him.
That's right? So God is so good.
So
he
read
is
that,
so good.
Read that Psalms 37:37.
Yes, and this is an interesting one. This says, mark the perfect or blameless man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Now, of course, who makes us blameless and perfect is the blood of Jesus, is Jesus Christ and being one of his. But notice his end is peace and not some horrible disease or tragic accident.
Right. That's a wonderful promise.
That is. So to expect to die in peace is not arrogance, but confidence in God's promises. And we know in Deuteronomy 28, it explains how we can live and die with the blessing, or we can live and die with the curse. It's our choice. As Deuteronomy 30:19 says, God said, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life.
That's right. You know, just to share a quick story, my life could have ended. You know, I took a pill. We went to a nutritionist and she said, you know, you travel a lot and you sit on planes. This is good for your circulation. Well, normally we investigate everything before we take it, but we didn't this time.
This was a nutritional supplement, actually.
Right, exactly. And so it was supposed to help your circulation. So she said to take 2. Well, you felt in your heart, just take 1. We haven't really checked this out yet.
This is 5:30 in the morning. It's still dark outside. And right. We were leaving to go to the airport up in Los Angeles for a ministry trip.
Right. So we took it at 5:00 in the morning on the road at 5:30.
Just one pill.
One pill. And I'm driving. I'm on the inside lane going about 70 miles an hour in heavy traffic going to LA. And suddenly I said to Annette, I said, I don't feel right. And that fast, I passed out at the wheel.
At the wheel, driving on a very crowded rush hour morning.
6 lanes
freeway.
Wide of traffic.
6 lanes, yes, wide.
So I'm passed out going 70. So she had to get her leg over the console, get on the brake, and try to maneuver the car across 6 lanes of traffic over to the side of the road.
Yes, and I just said, we were in our, it was a 1995 Volvo, and I sat up on that little middle console area. And I just said, help me, Jesus, and took the wheel and Thank God Bill fell back when he passed out, not over on top of the wheel. But it was, yeah.
Right.
It was definitely a near-death moment, right?
The point is, I was passed out. You called 911. They came and they checked and they said my heart was at 3 beats a minute.
Yeah, the paramedics started dragging you out and he said, precardiac, 3 beats a minute.
And they said, you know, normally a person dies at 3 beats a minute.
And you did see yourself flashing before, your whole life flashed before you, didn't you? Like a person would before they die.
I did. I saw like myself watching my life on a movie film. And it was flying by my whole life, but I could absorb all of it in a minute. And I was at this point 60 years old. And but the point is, you know, I should have died, but it was not, because we have an assignment. God's given us assignment. And we know that we are to complete our assignment on the earth. And we have always thanked God for his promise, like Psalms 91, that he'll give us long life on the earth.
And protect us as well.
Right. Right?
But also, you know, that was the first thought that hit my head. I started praying over you and as well as in between calling 911. I was a little shaken up when I started talking to the 911 operator, but God just kept me. And I just thought, the first thing I thought in my mind is, we are not done with our assignment. Bill is not dying today. No, he's not. I mean, that really hit me strong. And,
right.
And you know, it wasn't your so-called, quote, appointed time to die. Some people would just resign and think, oh yeah, I guess it was Bill, God's will for Bill to die. No, it wasn't. His assignment wasn't over. I knew that at 60 years old,
right.
Perfectly healthy, it wasn't over. And
plus, we'd always believed God for long life. We'd always thanked him for his promise. So that makes a difference too.
Yes, absolutely.
Anyway,
so God was good and gracious and brought us through all that.
Right, and they just put me on
IVs and cleaned the supplement out of his system, which was 85% nitric oxide, we found out. And Bill has naturally low blood pressure and a low pulse. So it plummeted when he took this supplement.
Right, exactly.
So God brought us through and everything was perfect in Bill's body. And here he is today, healthy and strong. Thank you, Jesus.
Right. Now, another important aspect of living a long, healthy life is our tongue and what we say. I know some people have trouble with that, but our tongue has so much to do with it. We're going to look at just some scriptures. You know, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, God could have said that death and life are within his power, but he didn't. He placed that responsibility in our tongue.
That is such an important verse, Bill, because sometimes when people are faced in a crisis, their mouth just shouts out all kinds of fear and death. I mean, I could have been screaming. I could have been in panic and saying, oh no, he's dead. He's dead. Or he's dying. Or, you know, saying all the wrong things instead of agreeing with God's promises and his word.
He'll live and not die.
But see how, you know, we have to train our spirit and get the word in our heart, or that's not going to come out in a crisis. And I just give God all the glory and praise that came out.
Exactly.
The right things came out. But,
yeah,
you know,
I am too.
He's the one that did that for me. You know, here are 7 verses, but it is fun to brag on God, I have to tell you. Anyways, here are 7 verses too, which explain this, and there are many more
about
our tongue,
right.
Going back to that. And Proverbs 12:18 says, the tongue of the wise is health.
You speak health over yourself.
Yes, the tongue of the wise, that's right.
Not say, my feet are killing me, or those kinds of things people say.
Yes, you're speaking life and not death over yourself.
Exactly.
And Proverbs 12:14 says, a good man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Psalms 50:23 says, to him that orders his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. And that's also, is that your conversation, like your words, or is that your lifestyle?
It's both, really. Conversation is your lifestyle and, you know, just
what you say
and
do.
What you say and what you do covers all that.
And Proverbs 21:23 says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Proverbs 16:23 says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips.
You see that? We have to teach our mouth. That's interesting. Most people just let the tongue run off wild and say, I just say what I think. Well, no, we have to teach our tongue what to say. Teach it to speak the word of God.
Yes, and in Psalms, doesn't it say, like, Lord, put a guard at the door of my lips?
Yes.
And, yeah, Exactly. But yes. The meditation of my heart and things I say would be pleasing to him, right?
Right.
First Peter 3:10 says, to him that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his mouth from speaking evil. And it's interesting in Numbers 13:32 that God said that doubt is evil. If you read that,
right,
that case in right. Numbers 13.
So if you're doubting the word of God,
that's evil in God's sight. And then lastly, Job 6:24 said, he said, teach me and I will hold my tongue. Cause me to understand where I have erred, how forcible are right words.
So he noticed, he learned how forcible are right words. Boy, these next verse in James 3, verses 4 through 8, confirms this. And it's long, you have to read the whole thing, but basically it's talking about the tongue, how powerful the tongue is. And it says it's a tongue, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. It is set on fire by hell. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And it goes on to talk about who can tame the tongue and so forth. So that we are supposed to do that. We are supposed to learn to teach our tongue what to say.
And exactly. And it's how it equates it to be like a rudder, like the rudder steers a big ship. And like our tongue steers us and
that's
our
right.
life, right?
It does.
You know, and those are really strong words in James regarding the tongue. And that scripture is clear again that the tongue guides our life. So let's you know, all look at this and guard what comes out of our mouth. And let's not accuse God falsely also when a baby dies or someone that we love and we say that God took them home. Or when a tragedy strikes, some say, why did God allow this? As if he could have stopped it, but he didn't. So in essence, what those people are saying is, God, it's your fault. Why didn't you prevent this?
Right.
But the scripture says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly in John 10:10.
Right. So these evils come from the demonic realm. He just told you, you know, evil is from Satan.
Yes. And other people that are moved through, you know, demonic forces. You know,
exactly.
People will harm people.
And we're in a fallen world and there's sin on the earth because the earth is actually under a curse because of the sin in it. So that's why a lot of destruction happens and so forth. You know, we are in a war and sometimes we may get wounded. It may not be our fault at all, but it's never God's fault. So let us look first to ourselves and see where we possibly could have missed it. It might be through our ignorance of God's word or our disobedience or our lack of prayer, our procrastination, or our poor decisions. Let us declare what God said about us, and with his help, we will live until we are satisfied and finish our race for his glory.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to leave us a rating or comment. We value your feedback. Stay in touch and learn more about this ministry by visiting us at soulchoiceministries.org.